You'll turn to Psalm 15. This is a brief psalm, but it packs a punch. That's what I'd like to look at it this morning. Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Now today we don't have tabernacles, but we know what the tabernacle was. What was it? It was the place that God had fellowship with his people.
Yeah.
It was the place where he manifests his presence with them.
Yeah.
And the deeper you got into the tabernacle, the holier it was, if you will. When you enter the holiest of holies, only one priest could enter one time a year. Fellowship with God. That is what the tabernacle represents. So who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? And David directs us to understand this. In verse 2, he says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Man was made upright by God. He was made in the image of God. He was made perfect and pure without any tarnish at all. He lived a holy life and he had a perfect relationship and perfect fellowship with his Father, Creator. And who on this earth has ever lived perfectly and worked pure righteousness? Only Jesus Christ. He is the only person ever to have a pure relationship and have a pure fellowship with God. But of course, by him, we have those same qualities by his grace.
Amen.
And so David shows us a few of the descriptions of that quality. But it's important for us to remember that as we pursue this holiness, as we pursue this uprightness, that we are doing it to be like Jesus Christ. We are doing it so that we will be in his image, so that we will be more purely in the image that we were created. So first, he says that he speaketh the truth in his heart. And why is this significant? Because we can look back in the New Testament and we can see a few groups of people who, if you looked at them, you would say, he is walking uprightly. He is walking righteously. He is right all the time. He's got that law down to the jot and the tittle. And those were such as the Pharisees. But if I call you a Pharisee today, is that a good thing?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
What was wrong with the Pharisees? They walked uprightly and worked righteousness outwardly, but their heart was not upright. Their heart was not right with God. They were not consecrated to Jesus Christ. They weren't trying to return to that pure image of God that they were created in. They were interested in themselves. So it is vital that as we pursue this holiness, that what we are pursuing is to be like Jesus Christ, not to just improve ourselves before God. And what God is interested in is, at the very core, our heart.
Yeah.
And this lays a foundation for the rest of these verses. Are you speaking the truth in your heart today? When you go out in the world and you encounter all sorts of different situations, people or things or circumstances that create some kind of emotion in you, create some kind of response, maybe inwardly or outwardly, is your heart speaking the truth about what you're encountering? Are you being real? Are you being biblical? Are you having a biblical perspective in your life, day to day? Are you speaking the truth in your heart? So, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? First, he gives some negatives. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Here he lays out three levels of engagement in evil. First, he backbiteth not with his tongue. He doesn't speak evil. In your daily life, in your conversations with your family or your co-workers or your pastor or your children, your siblings, what is the fruit of your heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It can be very telling. So what is your tongue saying about your heart? And is your spirit one that leads you to backbite? Do you slander others? Do you speak ill of them? Do you just have that, you just want to get them back? That's from the heart. And then doing evil, outright, doing acts of evil. And then taking up a reproach against his neighbor. And this is like taking up a cause, subscribing to a particular point of view. So if someone beside you is slandering someone or speaking ill of this person or putting them down, are you quick to go along with that? By nature, we're very quick to see others less and find opportunities and grab at opportunities to see others as being below ourselves because it puffs ourselves up. But remember, our goal is to be like Jesus Christ. We do or do not these things for the sake, for the name of Jesus Christ. So, are you quick to go along with what someone else is saying or doing? His evil perspective? Are you taking up that cause and saying, yeah, I'm going to go along with you on that? Or are you slow? Do you require evidence? Will you be humble and not be looking out for your own interests? So, not doing, not saying, and not subscribing to evil. And then he says, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned. There are a lot of vile people in our world today. And most of the people that have the spotlight, they could be described in this way. Do you think well of vile persons, or do you condemn them in your heart? This is not a call to judgment. This is a call to having a pure and principled understanding of what is right and what is wrong,
yeah,
what honors Jesus Christ and what does not honor Jesus Christ. If this were about me and I go see some pop culture star somewhere that lives an ungodly life, and this was calling me to just be a judge over them, then that would be very easy. And it would also make me look good because I'm maybe not outwardly living as they are. But what is our goal? Our goal is to glorify Jesus Christ. And what does he say? He says to love your enemies. Love your enemies. So even though there may be vile persons in this world, and we must have the proper perspective of what they represent, that they are vile. What does that lead us to? It should lead us to pray for them. It should lead us to feel very sorry for their state. Not in self-righteousness, because it's not about us. We should pray and hope and do that which would bring glory to Jesus Christ. If that man was converted to Jesus Christ, if Paul, as Saul, was converted to Jesus Christ, what a day that would be. Well, guess what? It happened. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. The same principle that recognizes the injustice, that recognizes the wickedness that is against Christ in these vile persons, also adores Christ's likeness in the people that are around us. And I'm afraid this is where I've got some work to do. There are a lot of good, Christ-like people around me. And I know that, and I appreciate them in a general sense. But where is my heart in that relationship? Do I really respect that they are living Christ-like lives, and how uncommon that is, and what a treasure it is to even know people that are like Jesus Christ?
Yeah, amen.
Do I honor them in my thoughts? Do I honor them in action? Do I serve them? So we must have a principled understanding of righteousness, and that is in the heart. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Who is the perfect example? Now this blows my mind, but this perfectly describes our God. God swore, he says in the Psalms, I will not forsake my covenant, when he's speaking to David. Who swore to save a people of his own? We don't really understand why, but we're sure glad he did. But he swore, he covenanted to save a people. And that didn't mean he had to deal out some cash. It was a lot bigger than that. He had to hurt himself. He came to this world as a man, and he bled and died and was humiliated in this world because he kept his covenant perfectly. What if he came to the world and he said, you know, it's just not worth it. It's a lot better being up there. These are just ants walking around, not even honoring me. I'm walking among them and they don't even believe me. It's not worth it. I'm changing my mind. I'm going to get back up there. No, he changed not, even though it was to his own hurt. And of course, that is love. So that is an example for us to be principled that we follow through in what we commit to. It's not about us. It's not about how I feel. It's not about whether I'm hurt or not. And if you don't want to swear to something that's going to hurt you because you're afraid you might change, maybe you should think twice about doing it in the first place. But I guarantee you, God didn't have to think twice. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He's saying it's an idea of extortion. Are you taking the advantage over someone? Maybe you give a loan to someone who doesn't have a lot of money, but you charge them 85% interest. That's not right. What does that say about you? That says you're more interested in the money you're going to get out of it than actually helping this poor guy. What's the principle? The principle is that it's selfish. The principle is that if you are Christ-like, you would be interested in how to love this person, not getting something out of them.
Amen.
Nor taketh reward against the innocent. Do you slander the innocent just so you can get the upper hand? Just so you make fun of someone to your right, so the people looking on will think better of you. But they're not worthy of that. We must be very careful. We're very, very prone to this. But if we consider, how will my actions, which is a representation of my heart, how can I honor Christ? How can I pursue that holiness of Jesus Christ? Then that should affect our speech, our deeds, our thoughts. What is the result? If we're consistent, if we are laying a foundation of these principles upon Jesus Christ, who is the rock. If you put your foundation on Jesus Christ consistently, you will not be moved.
Amen.
He that doeth these things shall never be moved. And this is a promise.
Yeah.
Principle your life. Don't cut corners, because it's not about you. It's not about getting there a little bit quicker. It's not about getting to the top a little bit faster. Our lives are bought and paid for. So we owe everything. We owe our hearts to Jesus Christ.